Good morning.
Good morning.
Merry Christmas. Now, you may think it's funny, it's January 3rd, and you say Christmas is over, but actually some of the Eastern Orthodox churches celebrate Christmas later, and so they still have yet to celebrate their Christmas. So I'm not late, I'm just Greek, if you want to think of it that way. I want to read to you from the Word of God, from the book of Hebrews. Let me just take a moment to get there. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, and the exact image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. And again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him. Now the young ones here have done an admirable job of bringing before us a class of titles of the Lord Jesus, which Bible students refer to as the I Am statements. There are seven of them in the Gospel of John. The title I Am itself, without anything following it, is a name of God in the Old Testament. So on one occasion, when the Lord Jesus said to the Jews, Before Abraham was, I Am, they knew that he was claiming to be God, and they took up stones to stone him because they didn't believe that he was God. However, the Lord Jesus, as we've heard this morning, referred to himself not just by I Am, but I Am different things. I Am the light of the world. I Am the bread of life. I Am the door. And each of these things was actually a characteristic of God. That's not surprising, because what we've just read in Hebrews tells us that what Christmas is all about is God speaking to man. Now, have you heard from God lately? And you might think, well, God doesn't bother much with me. You know, he's too busy running the universe and making sure Jupiter's in its orbit and all the supernovas are going on up there somewhere, you know, trillions and trillions of light years away. He doesn't care much about me, does he? Well, the Bible says he does. Because it says God in many parts and in many ways, at different times, by different people, on different occasions, God has spoken to man. And he says he's done this of old by the prophets. Now, we have what many of those prophets said. We have it in what we call in our Bibles the Old Testament. We have, for example, things that God said by his prophet Samuel, or things that God said by the prophet Elijah, or we have whole books by the prophets like Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Habakkuk, Haggai, you know, all these different folks that were prophets. And it's an amazing thing that God would speak to man in the first place. That he would want to talk with us. That he would want to tell us things. Now, getting a message, receiving a message, is commensurate in importance with the person delivering the message. Sometimes we go away, as many of you know, for long periods of time, and when we do that, my mother often checks our phone machine, you know, on our home phone. If people want to reach us, the cell phone's always best, because most places we go, we have cell phone access. But some people still call us at home, so Mom checks in and checks the messages. Well, sometimes we call and she says, I have your message for you. You know, you have a message from, I don't know, you know, some the Red Cross of America or something. And we say, oh, okay. Well, we know what that's about. They're looking for a donation. They want money. So we kind of put that lower on the list. Not that they necessarily they do a good work, I'm sure, but you know, there's only so much funds to go around, and we try to concentrate our philanthropy on things pertaining to the Lord's work. But anyway, be that as it may, if you got that message, you might say, well, that one's not as important. But if you were to call in for your messages and you heard, oh, your son or your daughter called for you, oh, that would be something you'd want to hear, wouldn't it? It's a family member, someone pertaining to you. What about if I said, you know, I checked your messages for you, and the President of the United States was on your answering machine? Well, I don't care what your politics are, what party you are, you'd probably want to hear the message, wouldn't you? I mean, after all, he might be announcing for you some great tax break. I rather doubt it, but you never know. He might be inviting you to dinner at the White House or something. You might get to ride in Marine One, the presidential helicopter, you know? It would be a great thing, wouldn't it, to have some dignitary leave a message on your phone. I'm not even British, but if somebody said, Queen Elizabeth left a message on your phone, I'd want to call her back right away. I'd want to listen to that message. So the importance of a message is commensurate with the importance of the person leaving the message. That is, the more important the person who gives the message, the more important the message itself is. And that's exactly what the Bible says. That when God wanted to give his final word to humankind, when he wanted to tell human beings the most important truths, what he wanted them to know, God didn't entrust it merely to a prophet, or to a king, or to a judge, or to some other servant. Hebrews says, he hath in these last days spoken to us, literally it says, in Son. He spoke to us in his Son. His Son, who wasn't some Son of God in a remote sense, like we can speak of ourselves as sons of God if we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and receive him as our Savior, we can become part of God's family. We can be called his son or his daughter if you prefer, if you happen to be female. But the Bible tends to think of us in a plurality in terms of sonship. We can think of the Son that way, but when it says he's spoken to us in Son, the Lord Jesus isn't the Son by adoption. The Lord Jesus is a Son by his very nature. Because he is God. He's equal with the Father. He is of the same nature as the Father. God is one. And that God is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus is the Son of God who manifests and shows God to us. Now, what is God like then? Well, is God disinterested in humanity? Is he remote? Is he inaccessible? Does he not care about our problems? I tell you, the way he came into this world that we think of at Christmas time tells us he's not a God who's remote. He's not a God who doesn't care. He's a God who wants to know us so much that he would come in the form of a human baby. Now, there's probably nothing more humiliating than being a baby. I mean, think about it. You can't do anything for yourself. Others have to wash you. Others have to dress you. Others have to feed you. When you're first born as a baby, you can't do anything except cry. And babies do that with painful regularity, you know? But imagine the God of the universe coming down and being made into a baby. Becoming human flesh, becoming a man, although a man different from any other man who's ever lived, because he was a sinless man. A man who never did anything wrong. A man who not only never did the negative, he always did the positive. He loved righteousness, Hebrews 1 says, and hated iniquity, because he's still God. In becoming a man, the Lord Jesus did not cease to be what he had always been. That's why Isaiah, prophetically, more than 700 years before his birth, can speak of him as Emmanuel, God with us. And what is this God who is with us? What is this God who has come amongst us? What is he like? Well, he's the God who's the light of the world. Because he shines on us. We sang it. The light of the world is Jesus. And what does God's light say about us? Well, when the light shone in this world, it says, the light shone in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not, John 1 says. The Lord Jesus in John 3 said, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. You see, when the light shone upon us, we shrunk from the light as human beings. We drew back from it because it revealed us as we are, as sinners. And yet the Lord Jesus came and said, I'm not only the light of the world, who shows mankind to be sinners, I'm also the bread of life. I'm the one that a man or woman, a boy or girl may eat of and not die. That is to say, if we receive the Lord Jesus the way a starving man receives food, to say, I'm not going to hang around and wait for a better offer. Or to say, well, maybe I can find some food around here. If someone puts a plate of food in front of you and you're starving, it would be foolish to say, well, I'll wait. Maybe a Happy Meal's on its way, you know? I always like Happy Meals. You get a little toy in it. And here you are putting, you know, some food before me. Let's say it's lima beans or something. I really don't like lima beans. Apologies to anyone who may have brought lima beans to be lunch afterwards, but I don't like them. Anyway, if you were starving, if you were hungry enough, you'd eat them, wouldn't you? You wouldn't say, well, I'll wait and see. Maybe something better will come along. That's how the Lord Jesus Christ is to be received. That we, as starving sinners, say to God, yes, I see. You sent your Son into this world not only to speak to us and to tell us what God is like and to show us who you are, but also that we can receive you like starving people receive food. And so the Lord Jesus says, I'm the door. I'm the one by me. Someone can enter in. We can enter into a relationship with God. I am the way, says the Lord Jesus. I am the truth. I am the life. The Lord Jesus was all of these things. He also said, I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. Now that's the amazing thing, that the God who is holy and light and shows himself to be sinless and perfect and shows us to be sinners would at the same time say, I love you so much, each one of us, because none of us is deserving. We've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But God sent his Son into the world to be the Savior of sinners. The Lord Jesus is the good shepherd, says, here's what I'll do for my sheep. I'll give my life for them. That is exactly what he did on the cross. We can't think about Christmas and really appreciate the gift that God gave us in Christ until we see why he came. And the Lord Jesus, make no mistake about it, the Lord Jesus came into this world to die. To die on the cross for our sins. To take the punishment that should have been mine, that should have been yours. The Lord Jesus died for our sins. Happily, that's not the end of the story. The Lord Jesus rose again, proving that God had accepted his payment, proving that he was who he claimed to be, God manifest in the flesh. And the Lord received him up into glory. He took him back to heaven and seated him at the right hand of the majesty on high, Hebrews 1 says. So this morning, as we think about Christmas, and as we think about the Lord Jesus Christ, remember what he did for us. He was born into this world in great humility, wonder of wonders. But he also died for us. And he also rose again for us, that we could come to him and receive him and be saved from the wrath of God, which our sins deserve, the punishment which is our due. It fell on him, and if we come to him and say, my Lord and my God, save me a sinner, the Lord Jesus will save you if you really mean it. You'll not come into condemnation. So thank you, young people, for reminding us of who the Lord Jesus is and of exactly what he did.
Let's have a word of prayer, and if it's okay, I'll go ahead and give thanks for the food. I'm not sure if it'll be ready immediately. There may be a little downtime, but you're all welcome to stay for that. We hope you will, and we'll give thanks to God for it now. Father in heaven, we're thankful for thy goodness to us. Every good and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variableness or shadow of turning, thy word says. And Father, we don't doubt this, for the gift of gifts, all other gifts in one, is the Lord Jesus Christ. We're thankful also for the practical things we're given, for the food we're about to have. And we pray that our conversation and fellowship one with another would be blessed for thy honor and glory.